Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
'Tis a good morning indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome in the midweek edition of the Rob Brown Show is underway. This is the Fan Upstate. Howdy, y'all. Great to have you. Welcome to the show. Ton to get to, a ton to talk about. We're going to be all over the place today. So if you want in, get in early. All right? This show is wide open. We got Kyle Mountain, the head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joining us at 8:35 this morning. We'll talk a little hockey. The boys, not a great outcome last Saturday night as they fell 8-0 at the house, but they turned around against the same Florida Everblades that stomped them on Saturday and got a big-time 3-2 dub on Sunday. Now they get set for a Friday and Sunday matchup this weekend as they try to climb back to the top of the table in the ECHL. We will talk to Kyle Mountain, the head coach of the Swamp Rabbits, at 8:35. That's the only guest today. So, no, it's not. Denton Day, 7:40, college football. We got Denton Day coming up from Sirius XM. Outside of those two guests, Denton Day at 7:40, Kyle Mountain at 8:30, the show belongs to you, my dear friends. And with last night's college football playoff rankings reveal, we have plenty to get to. I am Rob Brown on the other side of the metaphorical glasses. I am the guy that is in a fist fight with his camera as the stream is up and running at facebook.com/thefanupstate, the Fan Upstate on YouTube, the Rob Brown Show on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. Lonzo's in charge of everything. What's up, dog?
I beat the camera, by the way.
You did? I saw that.
Yeah.
I mean, we still got to work on your angles.
No, I want angles. See, you and Cole are perfectionists.
No.
And you want it a certain way. I want it to be different than you guys. I don't want it uniform. I don't want it looking, you know, this is my good side, and this hits the light just this way. I want to be slightly askew, because that's me.
Yeah, but I mean, presentation's everything, right? Like, that's like walking into a black tie dinner and board shorts and a tank top and be like, I want to be different. Yeah, helping yourself. Sometimes being different doesn't help you.
You don't understand. When you look this good, you outshine everybody, so you do whatever you can to make yourself not look as good. So that the other person gets their shine, gets their flowers, gets their spotlight. So you're welcome.
Thank you for being willing to sacrifice to help us little people. Thank you for helping.
Literally and figuratively.
Thank you for sacrificing to help us uggos have a brief moment where we feel good about ourselves. We appreciate that more than we can tell you. On behalf of all the uggos out here that pale in comparison to the spotlight, That makes you glisten on a daily basis, we appreciate your sacrifice.
Well, at least you don't have to sit in a booster chair like Cole. So, I mean, there's that. If these chairs could go up higher, he would have it up near the ceiling. There'd be an angle, and all you'd see is like the lights up there.
Just catching strays this AM.
You think he has a stepladder in here to get up to? Because he gets a seat really high. He really does.
That's Lonzo. If any particular host of Wire to Wire,
apparently you're afraid of him. Happens but that's, to be I mean, that's fine. You know, you gotta watch out for your shins.
It's just unnecessary aggression from the great one this morning. Unnecessary levels of aggression. All right, we do have a lot that we need to get into. Our college football playoff rankings were dropped last night. If, and they will not. We know that. There are still some ranked games. There are still some teams inside of the 12 as it is structured that have to play each other. But if the season was to end today, assuming that the teams are on top of their divisions, were to stay on top of their divisions, the college football playoff brackets would shape up this way. This according to ESPN. The one seed Oregon would get the winner of Alabama and Notre Dame, your 8-9 matchup. The two seed Texas would get the winner of the 7-10 matchup between Ole Miss and Indiana. The number three seed Miami Hurricanes would catch the winner of number 11 Georgia and number 6 Penn State. And the number four Boise State Broncos would catch the winner of BYU and Ohio State, your 12-5 matchup, your matchup between the first team outside of the top four and the last team in. Now,
disrespectful.
It's not.
Would it be the same if Oregon loses the Big Ten championship? Would you flip-flop those, or would Oregon be somewhere else?
I would assume, and obviously this is going to be Oregon versus the winner.
It's going off what it is right now. I get that.
This would be the winner of Oregon versus Ohio State / Indiana, whoever wins this weekend. Whoever wins between the Buckeyes and the Hoosiers this Saturday will be going into the – and for the record, there is still a path. Technically, there is still a path for that loser of the game between Ohio State and Indiana, the loser of that game, to still be in the Big Ten championship. Now, obviously, it would require the other team, if they have a Big Ten game in Thanksgiving weekend, and both of them do, to lose rivalry weekend. It would take Michigan beating Ohio State, which if that was to happen... and Ohio State was to win their matchup this weekend with Indiana, and Indiana was to win rivalry weekend, Indiana would still go to the Big Ten championship. And at that point, Ohio State with two losses would probably be out. So the path is still there for both of those games to matter. Now, I don't know how it's going to shake out. I was on BetMGM tonight, last night with Brad Evans and Ryan Horvath. And they said, Rob Brown, what's your biggest surprise? What's your biggest surprise? What do you think is the biggest snuff? Are there any outsiders looking in or insiders looking out that you think folks are going to be shocked by? And my answer was, there are teams I'm interested in. I'm interested in SMU, who is on the outside looking in. I think SMU is going to be a very interesting illustration to some degree of what Lane Kiffin was talking about, right? If SMU finishes the season 11-1, go to the ACC title game, and let's say they lose a one-point game against Miami, they fall to 11-2, but one of those two was a Power 5 conference championship game. Would they have an argument to get in over a two-loss SEC team who did not participate in the conference championship game? I did, however, and I was going to talk about this later in the show, but since we're kind of here already, we'll lean into it and we can circle back around later. There was something else that I think we talked yesterday about Lane Kiffin's comments. He said, look, there's some coaches in the SEC of two lost teams that do not want to be elected via the tiebreaker or otherwise, that do not want to be elected to go to the Southeastern Conference Championship game. And they don't want to because they feel like if you go to that game, you take an L, you might get bumped out in place of a two-loss SEC team who did not participate in their conference championship game. Well, I think I came up with the out, and I won't be shocked if we see this after conference championship weekend, if this pops up in the cultural discussion around the college football playoffs. I think one of the arguments that you're going to see for the way that, because I also came to the conclusion last night in my conversation with Brad and Ryan, that You know, we've said, hey, do me a favor, put a camera and a microphone in the playoff selection committee's room. Let us hear the actual conversation. I heard somebody say this yesterday on Sirius XM, and we will ask Denton Day, the host of College Football Overtime on Sirius XM, coming up later in the show, because I thought it was interesting. There was somebody who pointed out yesterday that as much as it's going to drive people nuts, and it will, they're going to have to accept it, there may not be any clean, clear-cut way to rank people. It may come down to, we just have to accept that there's a group of people in Dallas that get to, we may not have to, we have to accept that there's a group of people in Dallas, Texas that are going to meet in a hotel ballroom, and they are going to decide who it is that gets to play for college football's greatest prize, and it is entirely 100% opinion-based. And so when we start talking about opinion, which if there's one thing we know about America right now, it's that everybody's got them. And if yours is different than mine, then yours is wrong. And there is no room for discussion. SMU goes 11-1 in the regular season in a Power 4 conference, whatever we're calling them. They go 11-1. They make it to the ACC title game, and they lose a one-point game to a top eight team. Actually, at that point, they'll be potentially even higher than Miami Hurricanes. They lose 1 point to Miami, a top 10 team, regardless of the position they're in. And they end up 11-2 and Atlantic Coast Conference runners-up. Where do you drop that team to? Do you drop that team behind every two-loss SEC team, including the teams that lost two in the regular season? Am I putting that team somewhere down behind a two-loss Tennessee team that got hammered by Georgia? Am I putting them behind a two-loss Ole Miss team that has two, by the way, not great losses, right? Remember, Ole Miss losses were to a Kentucky team that is fighting to be 500 and an LSU team that has imploded around Brian Kelly. That's two bad losses. They have the two worst losses of a two-loss SEC team. If SMU loses to Miami, they are already behind two-loss Ole Miss, two-loss Georgia, two-loss Tennessee, and two-loss Alabama. Hell, 9-1 Miami is behind 2-1. Two-loss Alabama right now. So if SMU goes and competes for the ACC title game, and they walk out of that game 11-2 with a very close loss to Miami, who will be at the worst number 8 of the top 10 right now, do we drop them behind a two-loss Ole Miss team that has two bad losses? Do we drop when both of those losses came in the regular season and Ole Miss did not participate in the SEC title game? Are there bonus points for participating in the conference title game? I'm coming around to the idea, and I don't know if this is something that you guys are on board with or you're going to hate it. So I'll let you speak for the people, as obviously Lonzo is a man of the people. So I kind of came to the thought last night. I'm not convicted of it yet, but I'm kind of coming to the point now where I'm thinking maybe there should be benefits for winning a conference championship game, but you cannot be punished for losing it. Right? You can improve your ranking by winning the SEC, the Big Ten, the ACC, the Big 12 conference championship games. You can improve your ranking by winning a conference championship game, but you should not see your ranking drop for losing it. Because there is, for a lot of these teams we've talked about, there is no benefit to participating if you are already likely in a playoff spot. I'm looking at 8-2 Alabama. I'm looking at 8-2 Ole Miss. I'm looking at 8-2 Georgia. I'm looking at 8-2 Tennessee. I'm looking at 9-1 Miami. There is no benefit for participating in the conference championship game if losing bounces you from the playoffs and you can be jumped in those rankings by other teams who will end conference championship weekend with the same number of losses as you, but they did not participate. I am not convicted of it yet. I'm kind of running around in my head a little bit, but I'm kind of to the point where I think there should be only rewards and no punishment for the outcome of a conference championship game. If you lose, you cannot be dropped in the rankings, or at least not be dropped in the rankings behind a team that did not participate in theirs.
Yeah, it sounds like babying to me. Don't lose. I mean, there are consequences to losing. If you lose and you don't make the playoff, that's on you. Be a better team. I mean, what do you want them to do? You want them to go, oh, we opt out of the championship game. Or are they going to try to throw a game? They can't do that. They can't throw a game because then they're not going to get in either way. Anyway, just don't lose. Get in there and play the game as hard as you can and win the game. And if you don't, you don't deserve to go anywhere anyway.
So if Ohio State was in the position of, let's say, let's pick a team that's hovering. Let's say Georgia. I think that's a comparable brand. If Ohio State's in the position of Georgia, you're a two-loss regular season team. I know it's not going to happen because there ain't that many good teams in the Big Ten. But your two losses in the Big Ten. By the way, can we talk about the fact that I think the Big Ten might have the best branding in America? Your two losses in the Big Ten. Let's say those losses are both close losses to the two best teams in the Big Ten. You are a two-loss team. There's a bunch of two-loss teams in the Big Ten. And you get selected to go to the Big Ten championship. And right there behind you in the rankings, let's say you're number 8, and let's say it's just a round robin in the Big Ten as it was in the SEC this year. You're number 8 with two losses at 10-2 to end the year. Michigan is number 9. And they are 10-2 to end the year. The Oregon Ducks win the Big Ten regular season title outright. So, Lonzo, Ohio State University gets selected to go as the second participant in the Big Ten championship game. You go up against the Oregon Ducks. They are every bit a wagon. And you lose by 1 point to the number one team in America, the Oregon Ducks. Should you drop behind Michigan for taking a loss to a number one overall team in a neutral site game and drop behind Michigan who did not play a 13th game when you did? Because the answer to me is no. You should not drop behind Michigan for losing a conference championship game that you were invited to and they were not. Because if that's me, I'm out. I don't want to play it. Right. I'll forfeit it.
Here's what I believe the flaw in your thinking is: you're acting like there's a consistent way that they do this, and there isn't. So you think you're in the mind of the committee and how they will do this. We don't know how they're doing it. We don't, and it might be different for different situations. I seriously doubt it's consistent across the board. So I don't know what would happen in that case. But in the end, there's one way to solve all that. Just win. You win, you don't have to worry about that stuff.
Yeah,
unless you're Florida State.
That philosophy, thank you, correct. And I know you're saying it as a smart ass, but you're right. Like, I know you're being smartcastic, and I get it, but you're right. You literally told Florida State last year, your results don't matter. They're irrelevant. They don't matter. The head games we play in our brain and our imagination matter more than what you did on a football field. That's why I was so ticked off last year. But we'll come back to that. The point that I'm making here is, in years gone by, we have absolutely and consistently seen teams that get dropped in the final rankings for losing their conference championship game. Now, in years gone by, it hasn't really mattered all that much, right? Very rarely has it actually made a big impact on the playoff four. Because ordinarily, you know, we knew who they were going to be. They all went and won their conference. It didn't really have an impact. But now it does. Now it does, because 12's got the same chance as 1 does to make it happen. So I think Lane Kiffin had a good point. And if I got the opportunity to talk to the committee, again, I'm not super convicted of this yet. I'm going to have to spend the day today looking up and down the remaining 2 weeks worth of schedule for all of college football and kind of figure out, you know, what situations might this come into play. But I think I am coming around on creating a, let's say, protocol, mainly because I like saying the word protocol. I think there needs to be a protocol for the College Football Playoff Selection Committee that says if you participate in and win your conference championship game, your ranking can improve. But if you participate and lose your conference championship game, your ranking cannot drop behind a team that did not participate in theirs. So, you know, if you're Ole Miss and let's say Boise State wins their conference championship game, you can get jumped by Boise State. But if you're Ole Miss, you make it to the SEC title game via tiebreaker, you lose that game, you can't be jumped by Georgia, who did not go to the conference championship game. I don't know how that works out or not. I got to do some more thinking. But I'm kind of leaning towards that's what needs to be. All right, we got a lot of news and notes. We'll keep going with the college football talk. When we come back, I'm Rob. He's Lonzo. This is the Rob Brown Show. This is the Fan Upstate.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So, let's talk about some of the shocks, some of the surprises, some of the interesting things that came out last night. Let's start with this one. Miami sat at home. They were on the bye week this week. The Miami Hurricanes, record of 9-1, number 8 in the country. They have one L. It was last weekend when they dropped the ball 28-23. They fall to the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech. They have Wake Forest at home this week. Then they are on the road at Syracuse the week after that. The Alabama Crimson Tide are 9-2. They beat Mercer by 45 points this past weekend. So Alabama smokes an FCS opponent. Miami gets a bye after their first and only L on the season. And Alabama jumps Miami in the college football playoff rankings. The 8-2 Crimson Tide, who have a loss to Vanderbilt and have a loss to Tennessee, though that is a top 12 loss, they get to jump the University of Miami. Miami goes to 8. Now, in the grand scheme of things, does this matter all that much? Not really, because if Miami wins the Atlantic Coast Conference and knocks off probably SMU, though Clemson is still in play here, if Miami wins the ACC, Miami will likely find themselves as one of the top four seeds and earning a bye. So it doesn't matter that much. Because Miami is in a spot where they kind of control their own destiny. They may end up as the fourth bye, likely as the third, but they do control their own destiny. However, this is another one of those spots that, and this is something, you know, again, dating back to, and I know a lot of you got on my behind about being upset about the Florida State's Alabama scenario last year. But I told you then, this isn't about Florida State. As much as it's kind of like the story about closing the blinds at Arlington Stadium ain't about the blinds, right? It's just one illustration that points to a bigger problem. Kind of the same thing. My issue with the Florida State stuff last year was never about Florida State, although some of you refuse to accept that. That's fine. My issue was that this is going to happen to somebody else. Even in a 12-team playoff, this is going to happen to somebody else. And if you're not up in arms about it now, don't expect me to have your back when it happens to you. And I think it can. This is kind of the same thing to me. Am I upset about this? A little bit. Because I don't know why it is that Miami has to be punished. And you guys know how I feel about Miami. I'm not a fan, respectfully. I don't understand why Miami has to get punished for having the same number of bye weeks that everybody else has. And in a spot that a lot of teams have a bye week. 3 weeks before the end of your season. You have a bye week. You have a tune-up game, and then you have your rivalry game. I don't know how Miami-Syracuse is a rivalry. Whatever, not the point. Why would Miami drop a spot to Alabama when Alabama beat Mercer? Now, if Alabama this weekend would have had and defeated a Tennessee, an Ole Miss, a Georgia, at least I could hear your strength of schedule argument. Well, the ACC is not good this year. And we can't, sorry ACC fans, you can't pretend that it is. I'm not saying it's atrocious. You have three teams inside the top 25. But of what we consider the power conferences, you have one more top 25 team than the American Athletic Conference. The ACC has one ranked team more than the AAC. You have three ranked teams. That is less than the Big 12. And we've spent the entire season running smack at the Big 12 this year about how it was supposed to be, and I fell for this too, it was supposed to be the most parity-filled conference. I came into this year thinking that there's nine teams that can win this conference. I mean, there's effectively four now. There's really two, BYU and Colorado, because Arizona State and Iowa State, I don't know that either one of those teams is going to see Colorado or BYU. I mean, BYU, I guess Colorado could theoretically lose to Kansas. It is at Arrowhead, and the Rock Chalk Jayhawks are kind of jacked up coming off that win over BYU and handing them the first L. But that's a 3-4 conference Kansas team. It's a 4-6 team overall, right? So the Big 12 has two, but they still have more ranked teams than the ACC. So does the Big 10. So does the Big 10. So you can't argue that the schedule is ridiculously difficult for the Miami Hurricanes. It would have been if, you know, Florida was what Florida's supposed to be. Florida State was what Florida State was supposed to be. If Louisville didn't drop a real dumb L last weekend to Stanford, then yeah, it would have looked a lot better. But I would like an explanation. I'm not even saying I'm super mad at it. I would like an explanation as to why Miami takes a bye, which is something every team does, one of two, which is something every team does. And they get punished to drop a spot behind Alabama, who blows out a team out of the Southern Conference. Respect to the SoCon. If this is to send a message to the ACC, okay. But, like, what do you want them to do about it? I'm not sure. And Miami doesn't really have a signature win because Florida State stinks, because Florida stinks, because they did not get to play Clemson in the regular season. But I feel like this is one of those spots where it's like, I'm not saying I'm super angry about it. I am saying I'd like an explanation. I'm not saying I really have a big problem. I'm not trying to blow it up. But I would like an explanation. And if the explanation is, well, the SEC, though, I'm not on board with that. But it is what it is. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. We got a lot more college football to talk about, with the college football playoff rankings dropping last night. We'll continue to look at some of the teams that should be ticked off, some of the teams that should be elated with where they are, and what the bracket would look like and how we think it plays out, all coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Real quick before we get back into the college football playoff rankings, as we discuss, debate, break down, diagnose, and otherwise analyze the 12-team playoff model, as we got our numbers drop last night. Have a young man that popped into the chat by the name of Sam. Sam is a freelancer who's listening to us from up in Oregon. I have not been to Oregon. It is very, very high on my bucket list O states to visit. I have a fraternity brother that lives up there. He's in Portland, and he says Oregon is a delightful state. I hope to make it to Oregon. I've heard wonderful things. In fact, I think it's either next or second to next on the list of great American states that the wife and I want to chalk off the bucket list. I'd like to get up there. Anyway, Sam chimed in and said, hey, you know, and this is I don't take this any kind of way. He said, hey, man, popping by, random swiper, came across the show, check it in. He said, you're very loud, drop the octaves a spot or two. You know, the passion, the excitement, great. You're a little loud for what I assume in Oregon is like 3:30 in the morning, I believe. And I get it. I've said before, this show is, I appreciate the feedback. I do not take it personally. It doesn't hurt my feelings. I understand, and I've said this to you guys since I got this job coming up on 5 years ago. This show ain't for everybody. No show is for everybody. The sound of this show is not for everybody. To use a term that Lonzo used earlier in the week, the spontaneity of this show is not for everybody. The left-hand turns, the weave is not for everybody. All right?
Hey, it's all natural. This is real hair.
For dude. Sure.
I mean, there's
oh, no... Oh, no, that's not what I meant. No, not what
no
I
weaves,
meant.
No weaves over meant. Here.
The show's not for everybody. For a lot of people, the volume, the tone, the random, like, it's not for everybody. And that's fine. That's fine. That being said, I do have an amusing anecdote. Last night, I was honored, privileged, to host the Habitat for Humanity 2024 Dinner on Ice Gala. They asked me to come. They do this fun thing, great one, where they bring the Swamp Rabbit hockey team out, and they allow people in the community. You get a hockey player assigned to your table, right? You buy a ticket to sit at the table. All that money goes to Habitat. And then you can bid money to have your hockey player perform some sort of challenge, right? So you will take your hockey player and you will, you know, make a bet with another player, with another table, that your player can, I'll give you a couple we did last night. Which player can do more push-ups in 30 seconds? Which player can perform a more entertaining 30-second, we'll say, dance to Chapel Roan's Pink Pony Club? Which Mark Benetti, the voice of the Swamp Rabbits, got challenged last night. Can you fit 10 jumbo-sized marshmallows into your mouth in 30 seconds? The mouth of the bits. Like, it's a good time, right? So they asked me to MC this, which is introduce the speakers, tell a couple of jokes, mix it up a little bit, and then basically play-by-play these challenges throughout the night. Well, the evening was beginning, I had about 5-10 minutes before I go on the stage, and I had a gentleman walk up to me and introduce himself. His name was James. James walked up, was very, very kind, introduced himself. He said, I see you at the hockey games. I listen to your show every morning. Man, I enjoy it. I said, thanks. He introduced me to his wife, who I am a terrible, terrible person and whose name I can't remember off the top of my head. Tina? Teresa? Something T. Anyway, doesn't matter because she's not listening. How do I know? Because she said to me, she said, you seem like a very nice man and I feel really bad about this. And I said, oh, what's what's about to happen, ma'am? And she said, when he and I have to go somewhere in the morning, I don't ride with him in his car because of you. And I said, sir, I swear to you, I've never met your wife in person before. And he laughed and he said, no, all she does when she gets in the car and I'm listening to you is complain. Because apparently James listens, they listen in the morning, and then he listens to the podcast, which you can find at thefanupstate.com. TheFanUpstate.com, or search and subscribe to The Rob Brown Show wherever major podcasts are found. He listens to the show on the drive in the morning, and then he podcasts the rest of the show later in the day. And he said he said she hates it. And she went, I'm really sorry. That was it. That was it. She said, I hate it. Yeah, I'm really sorry. I said, you know, it's not for everybody. That's okay. I understand it. There are people that I'm dear friends with. There are people in my life that don't like my show. Love me. Love me. Come to my house. Sit by the bonfire. Love me. Can't stand the show. Can't stand the show. So, again, it's not for everybody. But we're going to come in here. We're going to give you the juice, the gas, the energy, everything we got. Full throttle. All afterburners. No breaks. Start to finish. Full send. So, if it's for you, spectacular. Great to have you. Guys like James. If it's not for you, I promise you my feelings aren't hurt. People like James's wife. All right, let's take a look at some of the other things we picked up out of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee rankings that dropped last night. By the way, Jacob pops in the chat said, took me a while to come around to your sound, but now I rely on it to give me the juice in the AM like a cold shower. I really liked like the first 80% of that, Jacob. The like a cold, nobody likes a cold shower.
As many of us know what a cold shower now feels like. No, it's not that.
Nobody likes a cold shower. I mean, don't get me wrong. I get it. Like once twice a year, I'll have one of those days that I just can't get going. Be like 3 p.m. I got bleep to do, and I just cannot get my life together. And every now and then, and this is usually like when there's something big that night, right? Something big, like last night. I didn't do it last night, but like last night, I got a gala that I got to go to. Doesn't start till, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. And I've been up since 3:30 in the morning. Didn't get my scheduled afternoon siesta.
So really quick, a gala is just a richer party. Is that?
It's a fancy party.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's a fancy party.
I'll never go to one of those. I just was.
You want to go? You can be my plus one next year if you want to go. It's a lot of fun.
No, there's people there, right?
A lot of people.
Yeah. No, thanks.
And not that this helps you, but an open bar. That gala's got to have an open bar. If it's not an open bar gala, it's not a gala. Got to have an open bar. Anyway, with a night like last night, ordinarily, what I would do is I would leave work. I would go take care of, you know, the client meetings or whatever I got to do after the show. And then I would go home and I would catch a, you know, 1 to 2 hour siesta, depending on how the day went. There are days where that just doesn't happen. And I got to get my life together. I got to get my ass in gear. And it's tough to do. And then I'm team, you know, jump in the cold shower. Like 5 minutes, bang. It is the most refreshing thing in the world. Do I despise it with every cell of my being? Yep. So I don't know how I feel about being compared to one. Because on one hand, I get it. It's absolutely a jolt. It's absolutely some juice. It's absolutely going to get you full throttle for the next however many minutes, hours you need it to. On the flip side, no one I know. Jacob's popping into the chat saying, I take a cold shower every day. Jacob, are you okay? Do you need a therapist?
Yeah, I'm not worried about you because, you know, after the hurricane where there was no choice, it's either take a cold shower or come to work stinky, which some people still choose to do to this day. I can't do that. Got to take a shower. And it's the point of dread before you even get into that shower. So what you're saying is you dread the show until you wade in for a while and then you're good.
Okay. 71307 is the text line. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N. 71307 is the text line.
Cold plunge people are psychos.
I've told you this before. A couple of years ago, went over to Charleston, did New Year's Eve with the now brother and sister-in-law. And they wanted to do a polar plunge in the Atlantic, right? You go out in the middle of the damn winter, and you sprint into the Atlantic Ocean.
I still think that's a dare where someone said, watch this, and then someone said, I'll do it, and then you have to do it.
Well, there were about 10,000
of us. Yeah, I know, and then it just escalated.
I will tell you that in my real day-to-day life, there's like a negative 1,000% interest in doing that. But when the brother-in-law was like, I'm doing it, it's like, oh, man, okay. So we did this, and I will tell you that, like, sincerely, I came out of that water feeling like a new person. Like, I came out of that water, like, I'm turning my life around.
So what you're saying is you came out of that water thankful for being alive?
I'm turning my life around. I'm going to be a multimillionaire by the end of this year. I'm going to own several small businesses by the end of this year. Like, I'm going to be donating billions of dollars. I might buy Twitter. Like, we'll see.
What month was this? Because this year is almost over. I'm just saying.
I'm not saying I did those things. I'm saying I felt that way coming out of that water. So I get it. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. Okay. Maybe that's the case. Maybe I should. Maybe we should. Maybe we should do a cold plunge like on Monday mornings. Maybe a cold shower Monday morning is the way to go. Maybe that's the way to handle it. You know, because you get that ready to roll, ready to rock, ready to rock. I'm a new man. I'm going to go outside. I'm going to go rescue puppies because of this. I feel like a new person. I'm gonna end up sitting on the board of directors for a New York Stock Exchange Fortune 500 company because that's how I felt. And then I don't do any of those things, but I feel like I can. And I feel like, you know, I'm a millennial. Feelings are more important than actions, right?
All right. So
haven't we established this?
The cold shower just made me appreciate hot water. That's all it did. And was thankful when the electricity came back on and the first bits of warm water came through the shower.
It's not unfair. All right. We got our college football playoff rankings. They stack up this way. Top spot goes to the Oregon Ducks, surprising to exactly and precisely no one. The Ohio State Buckeyes are number 2. Texas is number 3. Penn State is number 4. All three of those teams, Ohio State, Texas, and Penn State, have one loss. We have an undefeated Indiana inside the top 5 at number 5. Notre Dame jumps up a pair of spots to number 6. Alabama jumps up 3 spots to number 7. They are the highest ranked 8-2 team. Just behind them, as we mentioned a mere moments ago, is 9-1 Miami. One spot behind 8-2 Alabama, who jumps them despite playing only Mercer this weekend. Miami on the bye, punished for it. Ole Miss up a couple of spots to number 9 at 8-2. Georgia bunny hops Tennessee to get back into the top 10. They are 8-2 after a win over the Tennessee Volunteers. There you find Tennessee at number 11 at 8-2, down 4 spots. 1 spot, however, ahead of 9-1 Boise State. 9-1 SMU is 13. 9-1 BYU is 14. Any problems with where we are so far? Great. When the only one I really have is Alabama jumping Miami, but I don't really have any issues outside of that.
Yeah, because that's going to work itself out. Yeah, so I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, part of the reason somebody asked, like, why are you upset about the Bama-Miami thing? Like, don't these things kind of work themselves out? Which makes sense, right? If Miami goes on and they win the ACC, who cares? They're going to be a top 4 seed. They're going to catch a bye. It's going to work itself out. And the answer is yes. But my problem is, if we let these kind of things go in week 11, aren't we kind of setting the stage to let them go in week 14, week 15, conference championship week? If we let there be so much inconsistency, as I feel like there is here, if we allow there to be so much inconsistency now, in this week, are we not kind of generating the foundation for there to be inconsistency for the last playoff rankings, the one that will actually determine the bracket? That's why these things are conversations to me right now, because I think if we can address the way that things are seated and selected now, there's a little less room for controversy and conspiracy at the end of the year. So we'll see. SMB 13, BYU, Texas A&M, and Colorado are 14, 15, 16. And there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, as of right now, the Palmetto Bowl just a couple of weeks away in Clemson, South Carolina. The number 17 Clemson Tigers, the number 18 South Carolina Gamecocks. So I'm about to cancel my trip to Florida for Thanksgiving over this game.
By the way, I'm off next week, so if you want my pick for the game, you know, Friday, you let me know.
It's a good week to take off. It's a good week to take off. I mean, not for me, because I got to do rivalry week by myself. But, you know.
For a couple days. It ain't like you're here all week.
That's also true. Army, Tulane, Arizona State, 19-20-21, and rounding out the top 25 are Iowa State, Mizzou, UNLV, and Illinois. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here, and by the way, Sam says Miami could easily lose to Syracuse. Miami is semi-fraudulent. My man, welcome to the show. I've been saying that all year long. Miami is Cam Ward, and Mario Cristobal is kryptonite to success. He consistently has that team unprepared and unready, you know, like he did against Georgia Tech this year and last year. Fran Brown's a dog up there in Syracuse. This is an opportunity for the Orange to be the disruptors, and they love to do that. I agree with that take. When we come back here in a minute, water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories that you need to know. We got Denton Day joining us coming up in just a little while, over 40 minutes, to talk college football. Kyle Mountain, head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits at 8:35. All of that after Lonzo charms you with his sports flash.
Like a snake charmer. That's what I do. The Charlotte Hornets have been effectively eliminated from the NBA in-season cup tournament. Who cares? After a 116-115 loss to Brooklyn last night, Brandon Miller led all Hornets scorers with 29 and Miles Bridges at 21. The courts do look pretty cool, though, by the way. The New York Jets have fired general manager Joe Douglas after a 3-8 start to the season. The move comes 6 weeks after the team fired former head coach Robert Saleh. The Jets were 30-64 under Morgan's leadership. It's really, really, really bad. It really is. With no winning seasons and no playoff appearances, the second worst winning percentage in that stretch in the NFL. Tune in tonight at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Oglethorpe Stormy Petrels. It's a bird. I looked it up because I didn't know what a Stormy Petrel is. It's Furman versus Oglethorpe right here on your home for Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.